I would like to call to order the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council. And will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, now if we might have the roll call, Mr. Clerk.
Councilmember Aceves?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Perotti?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo?
Here.
Mayor Farr?
Here. Now, I do not see any public forum comments, so we will dispense with that. And the question is, are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
I have one item I wanted to bring to council's attention. The staff report for agenda item C2 was originally mistitled a consent calendar item. It is in fact a discussion action item as noted on the agenda. The replacement page with the correct title was posted online. And other than that, that's the only notice I have for you.
All right, thank you. Now, Mr. Clerk, David, if you would.
Item A1, proclamation declaring September 2016 as National Preparedness Month.
All right, now we've got the Mayor Pro Tem doing footwork here, heading to the front if there is somebody to receive this. To Mr. Adamidas.
Did you want to say a few words first? Or?
If you would like.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Go.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. The national preparedness theme for the month of September is Don't Wait, Communicate. Make your emergency plan today. And we have a number of activities that are posted on the city's website, as well as information at www.ready.gov, which shows for each week of the month of September some helpful tips for people to become prepared for emergency events. We also wanted to share with the council that the city will have a Goleta Prepare Now at the Goleta Lemon Festival scheduled for September 24th and 5th. That's a Saturday and Sunday, and I think we'll be hearing more about that later. Also, we will have some CERT program events scheduled for the month of October and November. And I wanted to also just share with the council most recently, Mr. Anthony Rodriguez. I'd like to introduce him to the council. He has come on board to replace Liliana Encinas, who we lost because she got a job with the state. And we don't hold that against the state, but I continue to hold a grudge. But we do really look forward to working with Mr. Rodriguez and the tremendous background that he brings in the program. He's already a certified program manager and has also done training in Spanish, so he's fully bilingual. So we're really excited about all these things coming up and sharing the what's going on with the council. Thank you.
Should I read this, sir?
Please. I wanted to bring up some of the other folks who helped us out with this CERT activity. Mr. Valdez, Ms. Dato, and Mr. Rodriguez. Where do you want?
Come around this side, because we will take a picture momentarily, but first I get to read all the whereases here, and then we'll move on. So this proclamation, a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Goleta, proclaiming the month of September 2016 as National Preparedness Month in the City of Goleta. Whereas National Preparedness Month is sponsored by the United States Department of Homeland Security, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Ready Campaign and Citizens Corp., National Preparedness Month is held every September, and its purpose is to encourage Americans to prepare for emergencies that can occur in homes, businesses, and communities. And whereas September 2016 marks the 13th annual National Preparedness Month, and whereas National Preparedness Month serves as a reminder that we all must take action to prepare now and throughout the year for the types of emergencies that could affect us where we live, work, and visit, and whereas the City of Goleta encourages its residents to take time to coordinate simple steps to prepare for emergencies, including getting an emergency supply kit, making a family disaster plan, being informed about the types of incidents that can occur in the communities, both natural and man-made, and whereas the City of Goleta has provided and will continue to offer proactive preparedness activities and community emergency response team trainings, CERT, in English and in Spanish, through our own Goleta Prepare Now program, and whereas the City of Goleta values the dedication of our residents and volunteers who have participated in the Goleta Prepare Now trainings and appreciate the continued support of the community, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Goleta, California does hereby proclaim the month of September 2016 as National Preparedness Month in the City of Goleta, approved this 6th day of September 2016. And now we need a picture. Don't be shy. Come on. Well, hold on.
Mr. Adamidas, tell us in your heart of hearts, are you hoping for some calamity to befall us to test this out?
No. But we will be prepared.
Yeah. All right. All right, Mr. Clerk, if you would.
Item A2. Proclamation declaring September 19th through the 26th, 2016 as Lemon Week.
Wow. We got tons of lemon stuff going on here. Not to mention the treats you left us. Thank you very much. That's very generous of you.
How about Ethan?
Sure.
Just terrified the poor guy. All right. Before I do this, I want to say thank you personally to all of you for volunteering your time and effort. I've been out there on the field with Courtney and everybody else setting up and working there, and I know it's a long, long weekend, but you guys do great work, and it really turns into a wonderful community event so that we can come together as a city of family, and enjoy each other's company. And it's a big sacrifice you guys make. Courtney even recruits her whole family, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they actually live in the Bay Area, and she makes them come down to help. So if they're listening, we want to say thank you to them, too. But in any case, let's read all the whereases again, and then we can let them speak. Okay, proclamation. A proclamation of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, recognizing September 19th through the 26th, 2016, as Lemon Festival Week. Whereas the Goleta Valley Chamber of Commerce will be holding the 25th annual Goleta Lemon Festival, September 24th and 25th, and whereas in an effort to gain more community involvement and culture around the 25th annual Goleta Lemon Festival, the community will celebrate Goleta's heritage the week leading up to the event. Whereas local shops and restaurants can feature lemon items on their menus and give lemon specials, and whereas community members are encouraged to wear past Lemon Festival shirts or yellow to school and work, like Ethan here, good job. Whereas the Lemon Festival will showcase more than 20 types of lemon food while benefiting the dozens of local nonprofits, now therefore be it resolved that on this 6th day of September, the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, does hereby proclaim September 19th through the 26th, 2016, as Lemon Week in the City of California, approved this day, the 6th day of September 2016. Congratulations.
It's a group effort.
Well, thank you very much for declaring Lemon Week again this year. It means so much to us to extend the festival for a full week so that the entire community gets to participate in so many ways. And I want to thank you also for allowing the Chamber to work with you to put up our beautiful lemon banners that hang all along Calle Real and in Old Town this year, honoring our 25th anniversary. So thank you, Lisa Rivas, for organizing the Goleta Fun Run, Lemon Run, and Ann Pazier for being our chairman of the Lemon Festival Committee this year, and all the many, many volunteers who come out, including you council members, to help us make this such a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for your efforts on this. I still think there's a car dealership tie-in here for Lemon Week, but all right, David, if you would.
Item A3, Certificate of Recognition, recognizing the Goleta Foresters for winning the 82nd National Baseball Congress.
Well, first let me say congratulations. Coach Pintard, I went to high school with his son, so he's known me a long time. Don't tell them any stories about me in high school.
They're all true.
Oh, no. But you know, your Foresters are a great benefit to our community, not just because of the great baseball you play and the fundamentals you teach the young men who come to you, but Hugs for Cubs is such a great organization. I'm going to let you tell them what that is, but the work you do there is amazing, and it means a lot to a lot of people. And I know you take time when you go to Wichita to visit the hospitals there and get to see the kids that need your help, and I'm sure it's a big thrill for them too. But so this is awesome, and it's almost, you know, expected at this point. You're kind of like the Lakers in the 80s. We just kind of expect you to come back with a championship. But it's still a lot of work and a lot of hard work, but for you and the coaches and the young men who play with you, and it's not a given, and you guys do great. You represent our community well, so thank you. I'm going to read this. This one's a little shorter, thank God, because they're tired of listening to me read. And then we'll let you speak, Coach. Certificate of Recognition. The City Council of the City of Goleta, California, presents this Certificate of Recognition acknowledging the Santa Barbara Foresters for winning their 6th National Basketball Congress World Series, I think I said that right, in Wichita, Kansas, on August 13, 2016. The City Council of the City of Goleta proudly honors the Santa Barbara Foresters, approved this day, September 6, 2016. Congratulations. You know what? Let's get you over here. Congratulations. I know you're a big part of this. Come around this way. We can get a picture. We need that trophy, though.
There you go.
All right. Oh, do I get to help you hold that? No, I'm scared. Thank you. All right, now you take it back before I do drop.
No, I'm going to leave this with you guys today. So you can have good luck in the meeting.
All right, we need it.
All right, and you need it, and we needed it.
Well, you seem to have enough skill to make up for any shortcoming of the luck.
Thank you very much, Mayor and council members. I'd like to introduce the president of our board. This is Christina Songer. And we get credit for doing all the baseball stuff, but if it wasn't for Christina and our other volunteers, we'd never be able to do what we do. And so this trophy belongs to her as well as all the players. It was really, first of all, Tony alluded to the Hugs for Cubs, and the Hugs for Cubs is a support program that the Santa Barbara Foresters have done since 1995. Where one of our young players was afflicted with cancer. And his role and his inspiration to other children, he would go with us to the visits of the hospitals and talk to the kids as a cancer survivor and a cancer victim himself, and pass on knowledge that only he could share with those young kids. And it's been going on since 1995, so I guess that's 21 years. That's been doing it, and we're still continuing to do it. And that is a separator. We are a very good ball club, and we have had a standard of excellence. But by exposing our young baseball players, who will be community members in the future and members of society, to learn how to give back and not to worry about a curveball all the time, you know, that there's more important things and there's more difficult battles than trying to hit a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. And we're very proud of that. Also, we are very proud to have called home the city of or Goleta our home. We've played there for 21 years, and our fan base is made up of many of the people from the good land. That is where our fan base is. This year is an extreme challenge for us because we will not be playing at UCSB anymore. They have elected not to have us play out there. So we are in the quest of looking for another field, and there is a field in Goleta that is going to be under strong consideration. So hopefully we will be here for many years to come. And once again, I thank you all. I thank you, the Goleta people that have come to our ball games, and you have been a big part of our success and our fan base. Thank you very much.
Screw it down.
I thought I heard them say we could have it. Yeah, this morning.
All right. And it's been fun to watch you through the years. Your consistent excellence is it's an inspiration. So you guys have done very well, and we certainly hope you find a spot here in Goleta. So. All right, now we're going to move on to the consent calendar, if you would, Mr. Clerk.
Item B1, approval of the City Council meeting minutes of June 7, 2016, July 19, 2016, and August 16, 2016. Item B2, Community Development Block Grant, CBDG, Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report, CAPER. Item B3, award of a professional design services agreement with Partner Engineering and Science, Inc. for Hazardous Materials and Property Condition Assessment Services. Item B4, Rules of Decorum and Procedure.
Do any council members wish to pull a consent item?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. All right, that was easy. And we're now moving into the discussion action item portion of our session here. David, if you would.
Item C1, consideration of appointments to the Public Tree Advisory Commission and the Design Review Board.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the Council. We had anticipated coming to you with the Public Tree Advisory Commission appointment, which we still will. However, I do not see the applicant for the Design Review Board. Oh, here she is. Okay, I'll let Leanna go ahead and go forward.
Mayor, members of the Council, we are here today to consider approval of an appointment to the Public Tree Advisory Commission by Councilmember Perotti and to conduct an interview for the Design Review Board and possible appointment for the landscape professional position. For the Public Tree Advisory Commission, Councilmember Perotti has interviewed Phoebe Manser to fill the vacant Public Tree Advisory Commission position and wishes to appoint Ms. Manser to serve the remainder of the term expiring January 2019. Each council member is required to appoint one member to the Public Tree Advisory Commission. Such appointment requires at least 3 affirmative votes by council. For the Design Review Board, there is one correction to the staff report. Recommendation BA should say landscape professional, not landscape architect. An application was received by Chris Clinton for the vacancy on the Design Review Board for the landscape professional position. Staff has placed sample questions on the dais for today's Design Review Board interview. Council is under no obligation at this time to make an appointment for either vacancy. Taking no action would mean that both bodies would continue to function with their current members. Ms. Manser and Ms. Clinton are available to answer any questions you may have.
All right. So, Or do we put someone in nomination? What's the next step?
Ask the council member that wants to do that.
That would be Ms. Perotti.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I've spoken and interviewed Phoebe Mansour, and she's been anxiously, graciously waiting to be ratified. I spoke with her several months ago, and we were waiting to see if the forest urban management plan would be complete before she stepped in. But I think this is a good time for her to step in, and it's not completed yet, but this will be a good learning experience, and I think she's ready for it. So I don't know, Phoebe, if you'd like to come up and say a few words. You don't have to, but it'd be nice. No pressure.
Council, staff, guests in the audience, I'm pleased that Paula has confidence in me to fulfill the role as on the PTAC, and I'm looking forward for the opportunity.
Yeah, straight to the point, I like that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think we need to ratify. Take a vote.
Oh, well, okay. Phoebe Mansour, all those in favor of her serving on the Public Tree Advisory Commission?
Do we need a second and everything?
I'll second that.
Oh, you're the first.
You're the first.
Oh, I'm the first.
It.
We know what we're doing up
I'll
here.
I'll be happy
today.
To second it then. How's that?
Excuse us.
Yeah, okay. Now we have a first. Is there a third? No, okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimous.
Unanimous. And Phoebe, it's been fun to watch you over the last several years, assuming more and more responsibility and interest. And it's very nice to see you join this board now. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
At this time, we do have Ms. Clinton here in the audience to conduct the design review board interview.
All right. Yeah, would you like to come up and tell us a bit about yourself?
Oh, I got 3 minutes? Is this my timer?
No, you got more than that.
What would you guys like to know? I don't have anything prepared. I can give you the 5-minute quick one. Would you like that?
Sure. Go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go.
All right.
Absolutely.
Be relaxed. Be comfortable.
I was born and raised in Goleta and moved out when we were 4, moved out to Embarcadero Municipal Improvement District. My dad served on the board for many years, Dr. Clinton, and now my sister also served there. And I was a stay-at-home mom after graduating from UCSB with a Bachelor of Science in Ecology, and then moved to Canada and got my master's in landscape architecture in Canada and ran a small design build firm there for 7 years before getting a position as a landscape maintenance supervisor at UCSB. And there I sit on the design committee at UCSB as well, as part of my position. I don't know if you guys know John Cook, but he recommended, sent over the email stream to me saying, this might be something that you're interested in. So I would love to, you know, follow in the family footsteps and do what I can to help out.
Very good.
Yeah. How do you think the design review board is doing?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I would have to see how the proceedings go and everything, but in terms of you're in a real crunch with the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything that we have, I know Santa Barbara has gone into hydro zones. I know the state of California is wanting, they're putting some pressure on us about what kind of plants we have and, you know, are we really fulfilling everything that we can be doing to try to cut that down. So I'm not sure which direction you guys want to head, but of course I'd be open to your direction on that in terms of how do we keep our landscaping down to a reasonable level. So I think you guys are doing great. That's a short answer.
We have a question from Council Member Perotti.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very impressive application. Thank you for coming forward. And how did you hear about this position, did you say? I'm just out of curiosity.
My director, John Cook,
okay,
is looking, I think, and possibly Dennis Whalen also,
okay,
through them, came through to say.
Can you move the microphone? I just have, thank you. Thanks. Another question that I have, do you have the time? It takes some time and some reading, and do you have the time for this position?
Yes. And how much time do you think would you estimate are you looking at?
8 to 10 hours is what I'm reading here on this. I would have to talk to somebody on the design review board to actually verify that. We have a couple members sitting in the audience, so I don't know, 8 to 10 hours, is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's fine. As long as it's less than 20, I'm okay.
I think it would be.
I probably don't have that much, but yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
All right, any other questions, Ms. Clinton? Yeah, Council Member Bennett.
Yeah, so do you still live out at Rancho Embarcadero?
I do.
Okay, super.
Yeah.
On the design review board, we don't require that you necessarily have to be a resident of Goleta. We do have some positions that make that requirement, but
yeah,
that isn't for every position. And you've worked how long at UCSB?
I started there in June.
Okay.
Yeah, just got back from Canada.
So you're just getting yourself all reoriented and all of our drought and the mess that we're in and so on.
I've been following, because we still have the property here, but yeah.
Okay, and you are aware, or maybe not, where UCSB has access to recycled water throughout the campus. Essentially here in the rest of Goleta, it's only certain areas that have access to recycled water, so we have to use potable water for landscaping in most of the city. So my curiosity is, do you see the means, and with your background, that we can have meaningful landscapes? Because the biggest question I ever get asked is, are we going to look like Palm Springs before we're done?
I would defer to the board, obviously, but I don't think that's necessarily the only way to go. There are a lot of native plants and bushes and things that grow just here with the water regime that we have and with the amount of water that we get regularly. We can direct people towards different things in terms of native and also maintenance on how we keep the gardens instead of, you know, they might not look like English gardens, but they don't necessarily have to look like Palm Springs gardens either. So there's a little, I think there's play within there and looking more as the designs are not just the implementation of them, but then how are they maintained and are they maintained in a certain way? And I'm not sure how much power we have as the board, but I'm sure we can make recommendations and help people along when they need it. Just saying, maybe we could do this, or these are some ideas how we can make it look this lush that you're trying to look for without so much water requirements.
Okay, that's essentially what I'm kind of looking for. And to be very specific, however, we're looking for you, not the rest of the DRB,
okay,
or anybody else at the DRB. This is all about you.
Okay.
So it's very important that you feel comfortable in putting forth your ideas. And yes, there's things that we have to comply with, as you mentioned earlier, in regards to the relatively new state standards of what's still being formulated as to what the expectations are by the state for landscaping requirements, because in some community they're very lush, mm-hmm, and the state is suggesting, no, they don't have to be quite so lush, and that we can look towards, you know, conservation of water, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just really interested in you, okay, and your feelings, and quite frankly, you answered the question just fine from my perspective of the divergence, whether we're like the desert or whether we can still make it work here but use less water.
I think both those things are possible.
Thank you.
That's my...
Are there any other... Yeah. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Thank you. Well, first, thank you for volunteering. You may not want to thank Mr. Cook later after you get, after you're actually sitting on the board, but for now, I want to say thank you because, you know, we need people like you who are willing to volunteer their time and effort and their professional expertise. So thank you. Have you ever been on a public policy board or even a like a nonprofit board, somewhere where you're kind of used to the format and the decision-making process there?
No, I haven't. I did get put on just an advisory committee mm-hmm. for the EMID board once. Okay. It didn't end up going, but I do know there's a whole process and okay. and everything you have to follow, the rules. And I'm assuming you guys use the standard.
We try to, yeah. I'm sure you'll do fine.
I noticed the beginning.
Thank so. You.
Just one question. Have you attended any of our meetings? Have you watched any of our meetings on television or on the web?
I have not.
Okay. So you haven't done any readings as to what they've had before? Or
I've read some of your, well, I read on each one of you and your bios, and then, of course, your voting, and I noticed your diversity of interests. I thought that was that's really neat how the board is so, it seems like you each have a unique specialization and all that kind of thing. And I've seen some of your decisions that have come out as well as on the other side, the water side. So I've read through just those documentations, but I haven't watched the proceedings, no.
Okay. Good.
All right. Is there a motion that we add Ms. Klin to the DRB?
I'll make the motion to appoint Ms. Clinton to the Design Review Board.
Is there a second? I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So it's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let me reiterate what the Mayor Pro Tem said. Thank you for participating, you know. I mean, the city goes forward with a lot of volunteer effort, and we appreciate yours, so thank you. Okay. My pleasure. Thank you, Deborah, Liana. Thanks. Okay, Mr. Clerk.
Item C2, update of the City of Goleta's development impact fees.
If you would, Ms. Gaglione, Ms. Milan.
Thank you, Mayor Farr, members of the council. We're here to provide you with an update of the development impact fees, the adjustments for inflation, to give you an overview of the resolution that's attached here. And briefly, in the past, staff would come and provide an update on the fee increase at the same time as we did the annual reporting. And according to the ordinance that was adopted for the development impact fees, there was an automatic adjustment. So we looked at whether it was the ENR or the CPI, and we went ahead, and those could be automatically adjusted as of July 1st of each year, or as soon as close to that as the June numbers came out. And they don't come out immediately. So what is being proposed now is to go ahead and separate the reporting from the automatic adjustments. And the reporting is still going to be a public hearing where we have to report on all of the fees collected, what we did with the money, interest earned, inter-fund loans, et cetera, et cetera. We have to report on all of those things. We just wouldn't be having a special hearing, including in that hearing, the adjustments for inflation. So very briefly, so Marty Milan is going to give you just a brief description of the fees and the increase for this year.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. As Rosemary had indicated, there are two different
indices that we use in order to adjust the development impact fees. The first one that I'm going to talk about is the Quimby fee. The Quimby fee is specifically for subdivisions, residential and commercial, that when, as opposed to collection of park and development fees. And the Quimby fee per ordinance is increased by the consumer price index for the Riverside, Los Angeles, Orange County area. And this year, that CPI is 1.8%. So the only in Exhibit 2 of the council report, you'll see that the Quimby fee is increased by 1.8% over last year's amount. Then all of the rest of our development impact fees, which include park fees that are not subdivision related, commercial and residential developments. A residential development that's not a subdivision would be something along the lines of an apartment complex or something of those lines being constructed. The fire fees, the library, public administration, sheriffs, and our transportation fees all are increased by the engineering news record, or the ENR, construction cost index for Los Angeles, or the CCI. These fees are all at 2.97% for this last year, and all of the fees have been adjusted accordingly. So, and as Rosemarie indicated, these are annual fees that per the ordinances allow them to be adjusted automatically. But we're bringing it forth here today because this has pretty much been our practice over the past few years to do so.
Okay. If there are no questions on that part. The other thing that...
I do have a question. I'm sorry. Tell me again why it's 2.9% instead of the CPI.
Because it's a different indice. The CPI is a different tracking system for what the cost of doing business is. And that's the consumer price index is the CPI. The engineering news record is based upon the cost of construction in this area, which is was determined to be Riverside, Los Angeles, Orange County is what the city chose to use to track the cost of construction versus the CPI, which is pretty much cost of everything. I mean, it could be cost of grocery store, cost of, you know, purchasing goods, gas, whatever, as opposed to actually construction costs associated with the development that we see going on around us. So there's two different ways. Or there's probably a whole lot more different ways, but this is how the Quimby fee was set up versus how the rest of the development impact fees were done.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. So another thing this ordinance is addressing is officially calling out the method for calculating the GTIP fees, our transportation development impact fees. The original ordinance just said that the public works director would use the most objective method. And the most objective method is for pretty much all agencies, the Institute of Traffic Engineers chip generation manual. And I'm bringing this so that you can see it's a pretty hefty. We have two of these just of data collected since 1960 and methods for using it and what to do if you don't find the exact number in here. So we have been using the ITE manual all along to figure out how to calculate the peak hour trips charged to development and how to calculate the trip credit. You know, so when developments, if you have a single family house and now you want to build a quadruplex, you do get a credit for whatever the trips were that were associated to that single family residence. And then there's a lot of them that are more complex and they're covered in the Trip Gen manual and data sets. So this really puts this in a resolution, makes it very clear how to everyone who might have a question how these things are done. It also allows us to update, we have the 8th edition right now. This is the 9th edition in front of me, and it allows Public Works Director to accept the newest edition when they come out, and allowing the Public Works Director to accept that in case there ended up being an issue or some errata sheet, we could also include that in. So this will speed things up, I think. We won't have to come for a separate action to go ahead and accept the newest edition of this manual. And then the final thing that this resolution is doing is correcting an error in one of the exhibits. When we came last year, there was a copy and paste error. But the fees that were being charged were the correct fees charged. Numbers in the staff report were correct, in the presentation were correct, and in the information that was handed out to the public. But this also corrects those numbers. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You mentioned, Ms. Gaglione, that most other agencies use this form of calculation. What might be another option? I mean, I'm just out of curiosity. What are other options of calculating?
I really don't know what simple options there would be unless you went ahead and did a separate traffic study for each thing you were going to do, which would probably be cost prohibitive. Sometimes you do have to do a separate analysis if nothing is covered here and you've gone through all the different things you can do within the manual.
Mayor and council members, I just wanted to add for your information and the public's that we are going to be retaining the services of a consultant firm that will help us look at the all of the fees, including the GTIP fee, how they were structured. It's required for the city to periodically conduct what's called a nexus study to make sure our fee structure is adequate. And typically when consultants do these types of studies, they do go over the calculation methodology and the standards and manuals used. So I expect we will get some information about their recommendations on what types of calculations are done and what we use as our basis. So if there are any changes recommended, that will all come to you with the study results. And we're expecting that to be that study to be kicking off in the next month or so, hoping to have results in early 2017.
Thank you.
Is the fact that the information is so voluminous, does that lend itself to different interpretations and arguments?
No, Mayor Farr. Actually, it's pretty precise. So the large volumes you'll see is that there's a page for every type of business, and you'll have the data set for a gas station that doesn't have a convenience store, one that does have a convenience store, one that, you know, so it'll be all of these different things. And what we do is if we are unable to, if there aren't enough data sets, one of the things that then the instructions tell you to, you confer with the developer and you look to see, do we need to have a separate traffic study? And then we would look at that. So this really limits all of the interpretation as much as possible.
Is this the stuff that we got into? A brouhaha with Westar, was that related to this? We had some traffic pattern mitigation things, credits and things. Was that related to this?
I think that was related to which version of manuals would be used. Uh-huh. And I would think any other questions would be directed to the city attorney.
Yeah, okay. I always felt we got a little hammered on that one. Anyway, okay, any other questions?
I actually have a question just dealing with that issue, going to Section 5 of the resolution where, and Ms. Gaglione, you mentioned it in your presentation, but the what it says is commencing July 1st of this year, the city will utilize the ninth edition of the ITE manual for calculating the traffic fees. And then it says the Public Works Director is authorized to designate subsequent ITE manual editions as applicable to deleted traffic fees following the subsequent edition becoming generally available and upon an administrative determination memorized in writing and publicly noticed. My question is that if I have a project going through, and we have an agreement And the agreement is set forth based on what is found in the ninth edition. And it subsequently changes. Am I now, is that agreement now binding that I live with the ninth? Or will it be changed to the 10th or the 11th or anyone that comes out? And it doesn't specifically say that. So would it be in the agreement? Would the agreement say, you know, ninth edition ITE specifically to avoid any future conflicts?
If it was agreed that they were going to use, that we were going to use a certain the ninth edition and not change it in the future, then yes, that would need to be stated in the agreement. And if there's an agreement, a legally binding agreement, then that I would imagine overrides what changes are made in the future.
Okay. Mr. Giles, I'm not exactly sure how that would affect me if I had a project and now, because this is saying here it can change.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's in my view, just look at this, a little slippery in that if it's going to change in the middle of my project because the 10th has now come out, you know, how does that impact me? And that's basically what I'm trying to get at. And is it a contractual thing that now binds me to the 9th? Or maybe, in fact, the 10th is going to be better for me. I don't know. But how do we handle, especially when it's written in such a that can be changed at a moment's notice?
Currently, all our fees are paid based upon the fee rate that is in existence at the time the fees are paid. So that if a developer comes in and has a project approved, but delays for years to get their funding in order, or whatever it might be, before they actually go out and do their construction and get to the point, and chooses to come in and pay their fees at that later time, obviously the costs have gone up that are associated with that, and they would pay those higher costs. On the other hand, if they know that, you know, those fees are going to go up, but yet they're going to have to pay them eventually, so maybe they want to come in early and pay those fees. They pay those fees on the rate that's existing at that point in time. And that's your normal scenario where you do not have a development agreement. You mentioned agreement. There's a specific type of agreement that's allowed under state law, a development agreement. And the specific purpose of that agreement is to set in place the fees and development rules at the time that the project is approved. The developer gives additional community benefit to the city in exchange for the city locking in the rules and foregoing the opportunity for escalating. Generally what that is that you can't impose a new fee as opposed to applying the existing fee at whatever escalation rate, because as I mentioned before, that tracks, as Ms. Milan has pointed out, an index over time. And so it's basically the same thing, just depending on when you pay it, when it becomes available for the city to use to mitigate those impacts. But there is the opportunity, and we have done that at times with certain development agreements on certain projects, where that we will specify not only that there's not additional fees or additional regulations that are imposed, but imposing specific fee amounts or specific fee methodology, just simply to, as you point out, avoid those questions coming out later of a change in methodology or a change in approach or calculation. And that's, you know, then beneficial from the city standpoint. We don't have to debate those things, and we're set. We know what those fees are at that point in time, and they're simply paid. One of the things that we've tried to get to as a practical matter in going forward is giving fee estimates as part of our development approval. Those always are estimates, but one of the things we've had in the past is a lot of developers complained about fees because they didn't understand what the fees were or where the city was coming from with their calculation. By giving having that discussion up front with a developer, they know what they're getting into. We understand that there's still escalators that will happen, But the direction from city management has been let's put that in there so that everybody is on the same page as to what's coming down the line, and that may drive certain developers who have certain uncertainty with regard to their project to come to the city, offer additional benefit to lock in rates and fees through a development agreement. Hopefully that answers your question, probably a lot more than you were looking for.
No, actually, it's perfect. My other question, though, is that say it goes to 10, does that come back to us, or is that just an automatic based on the resolution we're passing today?
So by this resolution, it would be, I would take a look at it, and everything is looking good. We would go ahead, and we would adopt the 10th addition. I will say that, you know, over time, these don't change that much. It's not like the inflation index that we would use. This is based on data starting from 1964, and as they get new data, they average it out. So the only time you get into big changes is if an industry has a significant change, like the banking industry. In 2008, they realized ATM business and walk-in bank business to just get cash had gone down so much that they decided to throw out all the old data and start again, and that was in I think that was in the 7th or 8th edition that they did that. So there was a really big change in an industry, and that then reflected in here. But otherwise, for supermarkets, for apartments, for houses, for all of that, it really hasn't changed much at all over the past 4 or 5 editions, because you don't, when you have big changes in patterns or change in an industry, that's when you you'll see a bigger change in this TripGen manual.
Okay, I guess the clarification for me is the fact that when we meet with the project proponents, that we are clear as to what we're using up front with the estimate and fees, and also the number 9 ITE. So there's no guessing. There's no misunderstanding.
Correct.
Because if they've been in the game for a while and started a project, say, 10 years ago, you know, it may be a different manual that they've been working on, not knowing that we're now using number 9. Is that a fair description?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Thank you. So, not to beat this dead horse, I should stop saying that. Pete is going to show up here one of these days and be unhappy with me. Not to belabor the point, you mentioned you'll look at the newer volume and decide if we should switch to it. Is that really a decision we're going to make, or are we just going to transition to the newer volume?
If for some reason there was... things were starting to come up that there were some errors or problems with the new edition,
okay.
Which right away you have, because this is the Institute of Traffic Engineers, you would have those professionals looking at that. So barring something like that where someone comes out and says, oh, wow, there's a mistake in here, then we would go ahead and say that this is the new edition to
use. Okay, so it's more just making sure that there's no error. Okay.
Yeah, and in the past it's happened where, I forget which edition it was, where there were some errata sheets that were sent out.
And just to be clear, the Public Works Director will make that available in writing, so it won't be that she just made an administrative decision and it's not available and not noticed and provided to the development community and the public. So
okay, that was
it will
be
in writing.
Question. How do we? So we'll, especially people that are in the development stages, we'll let them know that we're transitioning to volume 10 or 11, whatever it might be, and so they know, either get in now or know that it may change.
Yes, and we give them an opportunity if they thought they saw an error in data relative to their project, they could bring that up as well.
Okay. And then just out of curiosity, with everybody shopping online these days, is that something that would adjust this thing? You know, you mentioned ATMs not being used, but, you know, all my clients use Amazon these days, so I'm wondering, have they already figured for that? Or they, I guess they do every time they update a volume, right?
Well, it's so far they're still averaging, so the day may come when for certain sectors they might, if it fell off significantly enough, they might decide that maybe the old data shouldn't be folded in. Maybe in the future, for some sector, the old data should be tossed and the new data used as they did with ATMs. I don't know of anything on the horizon where they're thinking of doing that yet.
Well, I mean, you can even, you know, Blue Apron, you can even get your groceries at home these days, so I'm just curious if they've seen changes and if they've made changes on that. But I guess that's up to them. So, okay. Okay, that's all for me, Mayor.
All right, are there any other comments from council people?
I do have one more question, if I could ask.
Please.
Just for clarification, on Section 6, it says this resolution will become effective immediately. But then the next sentence, it says the resolution will be retroactive effective October 6, 2009. What does that mean?
I'd have to ask the city attorney.
Oh, traffic.
This resolution is a reflection of council policy that has always been in place in terms of the delegation of authority to staff to make certain interpretations, particularly as someone questioned earlier, the mayor questioned earlier, allegations were raised by one of the developers that questioned that as to whether or not that delegation had actually occurred. So we wanted to be clear that this isn't, from that standpoint, stating a new policy, but is memorializing a policy that has been in place throughout. And this isn't really intended to be a departure or change in policy, but just to indicate that clearly this has been council's policy and that the development community can rely upon it as an accurate statement of where they've been throughout. It's, as we saw with the one development, we certainly want to not create an issue that it doesn't exist and have all the other developers coming in and asking to have all of their methodology changed and recalculated based upon this action. That's not the intent.
So there's no changes in any previous agreements. It's just showing the consistency and how we've applied it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. Ever since our current traffic program took effect in October of 2009, this has been the council's intent.
Okay.
Yeah. And how to apply it.
All right. Other comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Mayor.
If you would, please, Mr. Bennett.
Do we have any speaker slips on this, right?
I have no speaker slips.
Thank you.
Adopt resolution number 16 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, acknowledging the automatic adjustment of development impact fees and Quimby fees, amending resolution number 15-57, adopted December 15, 2015, and establishing the methodology of calculating traffic impact fees in accordance with the Mitigation Fee Act, parens, Government Code Sections 6600, etc., close parens, and applicable law.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Mr. Kutaya, you would.
Item C3, designation of City Council delegates for the League of California Cities annual conference and consideration of the resolution for the business meeting.
Mayor and council members, I'm going to briefly walk you through this item, and Rosemary Gaglione, our Public Works Director, is available if you have questions about the resolution that I'll be speaking about in a moment. But as you know, annually, the League of California Cities holds a conference. This year, it'll be held October 5th through 7th in Long Beach, California. During the conference, one of the things that takes place is an annual business meeting where city officials have an opportunity to take action on resolutions that help establish league policy. This annual business meeting is scheduled for the last day of the conference, which is October 7th at noon. And the league asks that its member cities that attend the conference have someone who can represent that city for that annual business meeting. So everyone is asked to appoint a voting delegate who can attend and take actions for or against the resolutions. This year, we have one council member who is attending the conference. It's Council Member Bennett. And I believe he is familiar with this process and has served as the city's voting delegate in the past. So we are recommending that, first of all, council appoint Council Member Bennett to serve as Goleta's voting delegate. But we're also asking council to consider providing your voting delegate with direction to support the resolution, the one resolution that the league is putting forward this year. And that resolution is entitled a resolution committing the League of California Cities to supporting Vision Zero toward zero deaths and other programs or initiatives to make safety a top priority for transportation projects and policy formulation while encouraging cities to pursue similar initiatives. There's more information in the staff report and in the attached packet, but just to provide a brief overview, through this resolution, the League is seeking to eliminate traffic fatalities and enhance traffic safety by supporting programs, initiatives such as Vision Zero and Toward Zero Deaths, and to promote education, enforcement, and engineering measures that create safer transportation systems. So that's the overarching goal with this resolution. And as I said, Rosemary Gaglione is more familiar with this program, having met with Coast to discuss the Vision Zero program, and also because of her general knowledge about Complete Streets and other programs. If you just were curious what kind of fiscal impact this resolution would have on the city, at this time there is no direct cost to the city associated with supporting the resolution. However, in the future, as the city moves forward with projects and initiatives of its own, there could be a wide range of costs associated with carrying out those initiatives and projects. So in the future, there may also be grant funding available through some of the departments, such as the Office of Traffic Safety, which help promote these types of approaches to traffic safety projects and street improvements. So it's unknown at this time what the future fiscal impacts would be. But on the other hand, addressing transportation safety is consistent with the city's legislative platform and also other city-supported initiatives such as Safe Routes to Schools and Complete Streets projects. So at this point, staff is recommending that council give direction to the voting delegate to support this resolution. So we are available to answer questions if you have any at this point.
Are there questions? Okay, well, I have a procedural one. So are we making nominations, or do we act on the fact that Mr. Bennett is... historically done this
task. Just act on the fact that he's the only one of the council that's going to the conference.
No holograms, yeah, okay.
Right.
All right. So what we want to do here then is just vote on whether we accept this the appointment and the resolution.
I would recommend taking two separate actions. One, okay, to appoint Councilmember Bennett, and the other to either support or oppose the resolution, depending on which way you want to go.
Yeah, Councilmember Perotti wants.
Oh, let her go.
Well, I just want to make a quick comment, and then I'm prepared to make the motion if there's no questions. I just want to say I'm sorry I'm not going this year. I find it so informative, and the networking is critical. And but I just like to let you know that. The reason is that we're having a family reunion, and I have a big Italian family, and there's just no getting out of this one. So so I unfortunately won't be able to, but I'm pleased that Councilmember Bennett will go. I know he'll represent us well, and I'm prepared to make the motion. Yeah.
Just don't take it personally, Councilman Bennett. We'd love to be there with you, but...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's not disappointed. He can cut up now.
Oh, no. Didn't think of that. I would move to appoint
Councilmember Michael Bennett to be the representative for the City of Goleta at the League of Cities annual 2016 business meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. You had a walk on that one, didn't you?
Apparently so.
Ran and opposed.
All right. The staff's recommendation on the policy resolution.
Sure. I'll make the motion. I move that we adopt resolution number 16 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, acknowledging the automatic adjustment. I'm reading the wrong one. Hold on. I'm sorry. No wonder that didn't make any sense.
That's what happens when you use a
a tablet. You're not going there.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. I move that we approve staff's recommendation regarding the policy resolution being considered at the League of California Cities 2016 annual business meeting and provide direction to the voting delegate.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor say aye.
I just have a question on the resolution itself. Because at the end it asks for a couple things. It says that the league is committed to supporting this Vision Zero. Secondly, encourages cities to join these traffic safety initiatives. Doesn't clarify. But then it encourages the state of California to consider adopting safety as a top priority for both transportation projects and policy formulation. So that's the end of this resolution. So basically what we're asking is, if I read this right, is they're asking for a dialogue with the cities and the states on safety measures, but we're not committing the city of Goleta to a particular project. Am I understanding that correctly?
That is correct. Okay. It's more about an approach than specific projects at this point.
And the reason why I ask that is because on the letters of support, there's some discussion as to some costs involved. Yeah. So I think this would be a bigger discussion for us in the future if we're going to implement even portions of the program as to what the impacts to be to us, the impacts of the city of Goleta.
Mm-hmm. I'll comment a little bit on that as well, that I know that Coast and Santa Barbara Bicycle Coalition have been working on Vision Zero with the city of Santa Barbara and other cities. And I know they have come and spoken with Rosemary Gaglione, and pretty much we're doing what is in this initiative, in this Vision Zero. It just really enforces the idea and the mindset of enforcing the three E's, which we've always been enforcement, education, and engineering, and looking at those areas, that really identifying the areas that are problematic and seeing what we can do to make them safer. So I see this as a plus because of the grant funding. Once you've adopted Vision Zero, there are more grants out there available. So I think this is something that I'm thrilled to see, as the League of Cities have supported this resolution.
Okay, but again, just to clarify, we are not adopting this program here.
We could.
Today we're not adopting this program.
No, I know. It's pretty powerful that the league is supporting it, and I would hope that when it does come back for us to adopt, that we will.
Mr. Mayor?
Please.
Yeah, if I just make one comment. I think that where this is ultimately going to lead us, most likely, since it's truly motherhood and apple pie to go to zero for traffic deaths, mm-hmm. is that will ultimately be accomplished through the driving of vehicles that we no longer drive but are done by computer. And that day, which looked, you know, mm-hmm. off in the future for a long time, is fast approaching. So once our communities become integrated in about 30, 40 years, most likely, to get rid of all the old cars, and all the new ones are self-driving and self-stopping, et cetera, et cetera. I would think at that point, that's probably when the goal will be reached as to the Vision Zero expectation. As long as we have humans involved, and of course we always will, even building the robots, things can go wrong. But generally speaking, that's going to get us, I believe, the closest to making this thing work. Besides making our highways better improved technology for traffic signal operations, et cetera. But I firmly believe that's probably going to be the ultimate, to get as close to zero as we can possibly be.
Not to mention encouraging people to use mass transit and things like that, where we reduce the cars on the road. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we support this resolution for Mr. Bennett to take to the League of Cities. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, now we get down to the one we've all been waiting for. Mr. Kutai, if you would.
Item C4, compensation for members of the City Council. Introduce and conduct the first reading by title only and waive further reading of Ordinance Number 16, next in order, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, establishing compensation of City Council members.
Okay, Mayor and Council members, I will be presenting on this item as well. As most of you know, upon incorporation, the city adopted an ordinance which set the compensation for council members at $300 per month. That is the statutory level, which is permitted for cities with a population of 35,000 and under. But in addition, the state allows this salary to increase by a maximum of 5% per year. And these increases take effect when a new council is seated after an election. So over the years, the past councils have elected to institute those 5% increases. So the current salary for council is now at $532 per month. So the proposed ordinance really provides the opportunity for council to once again adjust their salaries up to a maximum of $585 per month, which reflects a 5% adjustment for the past 2 years. If this is adopted, and of course we would have a second reading at our next meeting if this moves forward, then the change would go into effect in January of 2017, following the November 2016 election. However, if council does not elect to adjust its salary at this point, the next opportunity to do so would be prior to the November 2018 election. If council does move forward with the total of 10% increase, in the current fiscal year, there's money budgeted for that change. The cost would be about $1,600. And then the cost for fiscal year 16-17 would be about $3,200. And those increases can be accommodated in both fiscal years, so no additional appropriation is needed. So in essence, that's saying that the fiscal impact is already planned. So in case there was a concern about that. So that's really the short and sweet version of this report. So if council has any further questions, I'm available, and also our city attorney is as well.
All right. Are these retroactive?
Wishful thinking. Okay. Mayor.
So are we to vote on this now?
Well, we need to have a motion first.
Who's going to make that?
I'll make the motion. Right. But I think it's important to note that we're talking about a $53 a month raise. Mm-hmm. And people think that, some other cities make a lot more money than we do, but, $585 a month is, after you take taxes out, isn't much left. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely not doing this for the money.
I would add that if you factor in we work about 15 to 20 hours a week, we're actually not making minimum wage. So. Yeah. It's not a complaint, it's just a statement of fact, and I didn't sign up for this job for the money. So
I would move that we introduce and conduct the first reading by title only and waive further reading of Ordinance Number 16, next in order, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, establishing compensation for City Council members.
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Can I say something real quick, Mayor?
Please.
I just want to thank Councilmember Aceves for mentioning that, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that think that's per meeting, and it's not. It's a month.
It's a month, so, yes.
Just to let them know.
Darn, I thought it was per meeting.
Yeah. Well, it is always the stopper, though, when there's a suggestion that self-interest is heavily involved and they find out how little you do it for, you know, then it kind of ends that discussion, I would say. In any event, well, that's good. I think probably by the year 2025, if we get up there where it's not too bad.
I don't think any of us will be here, but yeah.
No, but our heirs. All right, well, thank you for that. Now I think we're going to go on to council comments and standing committee reports. Mr. Bennett, am I rushing you here?
No, I'm going through my calendar so I can be accurate in reporting what I've done and where I've been, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll go forward with that at this point in time. Attended the Santa Barbara Airport Commission meeting on Wednesday, August 17th. And I've got some material that will be copied that will be put into your inbox for that meeting. And attended the Channel Counties Division business and dinner meeting up in Lompoc. As always, it's always an interesting meeting, and there's always some great information that comes out of that. And attended the dam dinner, the community dam dinner at the Dam at on Saturday, August the 20th. And that was well attended, and again, I think every year it gets a little bigger and more people learn about it and enjoy it and really have a great time. The kids that come out seem to have a ball, so it's certainly well received in our community, and I think we're very lucky to have that. And I attended the ribbon cutting for the Goodland Chiropractic on Encina, 5973 Encina, on Monday, August 22nd. And let's see, attended a APCD meeting on Thursday, August the 25th, where we changed how the standards are applied for reducing pollution in the atmosphere. And even though it's counterintuitive, because we increase the amount that can happen, we increase the number of people that are affected, the end result is a reduction. And again, as I say, it sounds counterintuitive. It's an engineering solution, and it is real. And it ended up getting unanimous support, and it got unanimous support from the advisory committee. So that's in itself pretty impressive in our community overall. And there were no letters submitted prior during the EIR process in opposing it. So again, I think that's a big deal. And moving on, I think that took care of all of my things I participated in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I would like to echo what Councilmember Bennett just said. The dam dinner was the best. I truly believe it was the best one yet. And next year will be our fifth dam dinner, so stay tuned for some information on that. It was really a great, great event, and as part of the committee, I'm really pleased at the turnout. We had 33 tables, and every table was full, so that was great. As I've reported to you in the past, every week, every Wednesday morning, there's a group of us that meet for the C3H, Central Coast Collaborative on Homelessness. This is the regional committee that meets. And it's this is the, again, the boots on the ground committee that we work with Safe Parking, with Public Health, volunteers, Luke Bennett, who does, he coordinates these meetings. Senior Deputy Valadez is there. We just couldn't do it without all these people, and it's growing. The number of people volunteering are increasing, but also are the number of homeless folks that we are working with. We have about four now that we're working with, and just to give you a little lowdown on some of the things we're doing, we're helping them with health screening of some new clients, doing surveys and housing applications. We're helping them with the housing application, working with behavioral wellness outreach. We're scheduling that with mental health. We're helping, we actually have one client that had a Section 8 voucher, and we found a place for this person, and helping with move-in expenses. We're also buying bus passes for those that need to get to doctor appointments or Social Security. We found that many of us were transporting them, and we're now giving bus passes so that they can learn how to navigate our area by bus. So we're really busy on those Wednesday mornings, but we also have, on August the 24th, we had our 2:30 to 4 o'clock here at the in this room, our monthly meeting, and that is a little bigger group of stakeholders from housing authority to people self-help, the county comes, volunteers, HEAL, faith-based groups. So that's a larger group that just kind of checks in to see what they can do, if they can help, and what's going on in the community. I do want to say that on August the 23rd, the problem that we're running up against in this group is that we can help them provide services, and we can get them some of the things that our people without home need in our area, just Goleta, but we keep kind of moving them around. I mean, they keep moving around, and they can't stay too long in any one place, and my firm belief, and the groups as well, is that we can't ticket and arrest our way out of this. So we did take a tour of the Salvation Army's hospitality house and also PATH. Our city manager, Michelle Green, was with us, Claudia Dato from Neighborhood Services, Senior Deputy Valadez came with us, myself, Luke Barrett, and just looking at the possibility of how can we get some of the folks that we work with, and the ones that we're working with are wanting services. They're ready to be helped, and are very much cooperative. So we looked into the possibility of how could we get rooms reserved, because that's what the city of Santa Barbara does, and unless you have beds reserved, it's almost impossible to get somebody placed in, and we have no place here in Goleta. So I'm hoping that I can get support on of having the city come back with maybe some ideas of what this would cost. Are there grants available, maybe CDBG? How is the city of Santa Barbara doing it? What can we do to possibly help with this situation of where do our homeless and people in Goleta go? The Salvation Army, I mean, I wish you all could take a tour of that facility. It was just incredible, the services that they offer and the structure. It was so clean. They help them find jobs. They help them save their money. And then, eventually they will gravitate to another bed and be able to pay for their room there on their own. So it opens up the beds for another person. It's kind of a long-winded story here, but I'm hoping that Chuck Flax or Luke Barrett can come in at some point and make a presentation, but we do have a situation where there is not any place for them to go. So I'm just hoping to get support that staff can come back and have a look at what we, the city, might be able to do.
All right, thank you. Is there, can you put a little finer point on that in terms of giving asking what you would like to see from staff and who, or...
Well, Claudia Dato has been, she went on the tour. She's been working with the city of Santa Barbara and seeing what their MOU looks like, maybe seeing if there is the possibility of CDBG money or would there be general fund money. It's pretty reasonably priced at, was it 35 or 45 a bed? And we're only looking at starting out with just a few beds. But it's quite frustrating to be helping these folks and then there's no place really for them to go here. Does that answer your question, Mayor?
Yeah, well, yeah, it does. Thank you. Anyway, I commend you for working on this very difficult subject. And you pick up the LA Times, and you have to be appalled by what the LA Times is showing about the homeless down there in the LA region. So, anyway, we need to work on it. All right. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo, if you would.
Oh, my turn. Okay. Okay, we had a couple committee meetings. We had Town and Gown, which was informative, again, as usual. We talked about some of the ways we're working together, and, of course, getting ready for Halloween again. So that seems to be a year-round event, but we are beginning the stages of that, and we'll be ready as usual. Economic Development met, and I found that really exciting because we got some stats at the committee level, and much as we expected, GLEDA economically is doing very, very well. Our unemployment's under 3%. Our median wage is higher than any other city in the county. Our residents are working, and they're working in well-paid jobs, and overall the city is very, very healthy, and that's reflected, I think, in a lot of other stats, like low crime rates and things like that. If people are content, then they're not trying to take other people's things. Let's put it that way. So that was exciting. And there were some other issues talked there, nothing that we need to bring back here. I missed the GVCC board meeting. I was at another event, but I know city staff went, and that went well. It feels like they're really trying to get ready to submit their own RFP, and we'll move forward with them and everybody else. But from what I hear, that went well. There were a lot of events. It's been a while. The Dam Dinner, which was a lot of fun. It's just fun saying Dam Dinner. That's why I had to bring it up. My wife and I, and we dragged my son and my nephew, two teenage boys, you can imagine how fun that was, Saturday morning for Devereaux Days on the same day as Dam Dinner. So we got there early to help set up, and that was a really neat event. My wife's joined the board there, and she's really taken to it. So we were there filling balloons and all that other stuff and prepping for the event and then staying and meeting all the clients and some of their their adult supervision there. It's a great facility. If you don't know enough about Devereaux, go find out. It's been a gem in our community for a long, long time, and it was fun to help out there. They're doing wonderful work. What else did we do? I attended the Fairview Gardens event. They had a educational kind of fundraiser thing. Well, leading up to a fundraiser, they need to do some massive work on the farmhouse there. If you go in there, even an amateur like me can see the floor kind of goes like this, and that's never good when a foundation does that. So there's going to be some major work. So they were there talking about their school programs and also kind of laying the groundwork for some work they're going to have to do to that building to make it livable. It's always nice to be out at Fairview Gardens. It's such a beautiful setting.
Is that our building?
It's not. I believe it's theirs, but they're going to need help. So we may want to plan for some grant funding later into next year or at least help them. If you know anybody who has the means, that's a great place to invest some contributions because it's a wonderful building. It's got a lot of history. It was built in the before the 1900s, 18-something. I forget exactly. So it predates even the community center, which is amazing. We don't want to lose it. It would not be my turn to speak if I didn't mention the Boys Club. So I was there one evening when they served dinner to everybody, and that was really neat. Adults eat for $4, and the kids eat for free, and there was a line out the door. There was 134 adults who ate there, and that doesn't count the kids. They didn't show up just for dinner. Their kids were there with them, and they were eating. So kudos again to Nancy Weiss and the school district because they're the ones, along with the Boys Club, who made that happen. That was really fun, and I want to remind everybody that their fall gala, the Boys Club fall gala, that is October 22nd. It's a really, really fun event. I think most of us were there. I think you were there, Councilman Bennett. Were you there? Okay. You should try and make it if you can. It's a lot of fun. It's a huge fundraiser for them. It'll be great. There was two ribbon cuttings, the one Councilman Bennett mentioned, Goodland Chiropractic, and then Zizzo's did their official in the Village grand opening. I know the rest of you were talking to a bunch of politicians, so I stayed here and had food and drank beer instead. But that was great. They've really turned that place into a beautiful facility. And then last but not least, I just want to say City College opened, and it just as they said, it was free. My son's a freshman there, and he got to go for free. They gave free books. In fact, he signed up for a math class, and they gave him a calculator. It's amazing that they've done that for all, and not because he's the councilman's son, because they're doing it for anybody who graduates from one of the local high schools. You have to sign a promise. They call it the promise, that you're going to commit to going to school full time. You're going to commit to trying to be done in 2 years, and if you do that, they'll give you free books and tuition for the next 2 years. And it was, you know, it almost sounded too good to be true, but it worked out really well. And so kudos to everybody over there for doing that. They're looking out for our kids, and you can't ask for anything more than that.
Should we do some sort of proclamation?
I think we should. I think that's a great idea. We'll talk about that. That's me and you, so if we say yes, it's going to happen, right? I think that's great. I think that's it. That was a lot. I'm sorry, but we haven't met in like 3 weeks, so yes, I'm done.
Thank you. I have a few things. The free books, that's not through the school, that's through their foundation, which is a nonprofit raising money.
Well,
I'm glad.
Tuition and that. The foundation's reimbursing for tuition as well.
Right. So I'm glad to see that. Councilman Bennett mentioned the Channel Cities meeting. The sad thing was that I've never seen so many cities not show up. It seemed the numbers were down this time around.
It was a bad day.
But the next meeting is going to be in Ventura. They haven't set the date yet. But that was a good meeting. The Chief of Police, Alampok, spoke and spoke very well about law enforcement in general and also law enforcement in Alampok. I didn't attend the dinner because that's my week in Carmel. And I tell you, driving up there with so many fires that we've had, It was amazing. Every single, because the fire was actually got within 2 miles of the Carmel Valley. But as you drive up, every single homeowner had signs on their mailboxes saying, "Thank you, firefighters." So it was quite an experience. I serve on the Dos Pueblos High School Foundation Board. I'm one of the vice presidents, and they're having their 50th, the DP is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. And unfortunately, their gala is going to be on the 22nd, same night that the Boys Club is.
Oh.
So, you know, maybe you can make both. I will be sending our city manager a request for to give to the committee a proclamation so we can get Dos Pueblos here to honor them on their 50th. And also, we'll do certificates of resolutions to their first inaugural Hall of Fame awardees. We have those presented to them on the 22nd. I did go to the Fairview Gardens open house. My wife serves on their house committee. And you need to go see what they did within 2 weeks of furnishing the house. It's absolutely gorgeous. All of it donated. In fact, my wife took some stuff that I didn't realize we had for donation, but it was donated. But go in and check out the house. I mean, yes, structurally the house needs work. That's a long time commitment, but it kind of likened me to what they've done at Stowe House as far as the time period, furniture. It really came out nice. So if you haven't had a chance to do it, or the public has a chance to do it. And they can use support, so any support the community can give them it will be welcomed. Got a notice from the, and hopefully all of you got it, that the Friends of the Glacier Valley Library are looking for increased memberships to help them raise money, particularly to keep their the library open on Mondays. So those that are interested in helping them or joining the by buying a membership to their to the Friends of the Library or going in and volunteering to help, that would be appreciated also. Yeah, DP, the big one this year, 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So any opportunity you can get to participate with any of their activities, even going to their football games, this is a big for them. If you remember, there was talk years ago about closing Dos Pueblos, and didn't happen. So 50 years later, they're stronger than ever. So anyway, that's my report. Thank you.
All right. Councilmember Perotti.
Thank you. I forgot to say, well, two things. One, I just wanted to publicly acknowledge Public Works for the great work that our maintenance crew are doing all through the city of Goleta. They're doing a lot of great weed abatement and trimming of hedges, and I just think, you know, I see them out there all the time now, and the city's looking really pretty good, removing, I think we actually had somebody else remove some trees that were dying on Cathedral Oaks. Just letting the public know that, you know, staff's really working hard to get our city looking really wonderful. Also, we thank Public Works for the extension. They were able to get an extension for the multipurpose path on Hollister, so the construction won't begin until the summer. So that'll really be very helpful for the kids getting to school, and we won't have to disrupt their path to school right now. So that, just a big thank you. And I didn't know whether I got support from another council member on my request, or was that yes, for the having staff come back and let us know if there is any funding available, or what it would be look like if we were to reserve some beds at the Salvation Army.
Do you, Ms. Green, do you have enough information to pursue that request?
Well, I need to know if there's another council member that supports Paula's request.
So perhaps you could meet with Michelle and make sure that she knows exactly what you're asking staff to do or not.
I think she does understand. She went on the tour, so.
Right. And if I have questions, I can clarify with Councilmember Perotti.
All right. Very good. Thank you. My events have been pretty much covered here. The town and gown, which is always fun to sit down with the movers and shakers from the university. I always try to listen to it, wondering whether there's an agenda that's not perceived by me, because they are the proverbial elephant, you know, and we make accommodations when they demand them, when they need them. So, and there's no way around that. So, but it's always fun. They're always respectful, and they're intelligent, well-informed people who do their homework. So it's always a good community meeting. Also, we had our revitalization for the city and Old Town, which Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo mentioned, and we're moving forward on some of that, as he mentioned. The indices, the economic indices, are very good for our area, which, and may it ever be so. And of course, we're working to achieve that. And if I might riff on what Councilmember Perotti said about the way the city looks, we were talking about public safety. I rarely see our sheriffs out there banging heads around, you know. It is a law-abiding community, and the authority of the police is worn very lightly, and I very much appreciate that. Oh, and I went to the damn dinner, and that was great fun, of course. All right, City Manager Ms. Green, do you have a comment?
Yes, I have a few items. Now that summer is ending, there's quite a few events that are coming up I wanted to bring to council's attention. The Lemon Dinner this Thursday, September 8th, it is open to the public, so I know council is aware of it, but I wanted to throw that out there for the community. Also, UCSB Move-In Weekend is coming up soon, September 16th and 17th, so everyone beware of the additional activity associated with families bringing their students back to school at UCSB. Also, on September 17th, we will have our first community cleanup event, and that will be in Old Town. And then finally, on September 18th, there's going to be a Goodland Drive electric car show at Camino Real Marketplace from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. next to the farmers market. So anyone who wishes to learn more about what it's like to own and operate and maintain an electric vehicle is welcome to come and attend that event. And as you'll recall, the first publicly available DC fast charger for electric vehicles is also located at Camino Real Marketplace. So anyone attending that car show can also go across the way and check out that charging station. So that's all I have to report on today.
All right. City Attorney, do we have something, Mr. Giles? Is there a need to meet in closed session?
Yes, we do. There is a need for the City Council to meet in closed session this afternoon. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1, with regard to one matter of litigation, City of Goleta versus Cohen. No reportable action is anticipated, and I do not believe we have any speaker slips on this item.
All right. That being the case, we will now close the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council and go into closed session.
I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I'm on the shore. I bumped.